All right. Last week I did a lesson entitled Paul's Great Commission. Tonight I want to do a lesson entitled Comparing Paul's Commission with the 12 Apostles. Whenever you hear a lot of talk, at least I have through the years, about the Great Commission. And usually when people talk about the Great Commission, depending on your church background and so forth, but usually from my background at least, when people talk about the Great Commission, they're usually referring, they're inferring that there is one commission that our Lord gave that stands above all the rest. Now, real quickly, before we get into this, what does the word commission mean? Well, I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary, and here's what it said. To commission is this. Now, listen closely. This is not in your notes. It's an authorization or a command to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. Authority to act for, in behalf of, or in place of another person. A task or matter that is entrusted to one as an agent of another. For instance, if I said to Pastor Larry, I'm going to be gone next Wednesday night, and I want you to lead the services, I want you to lead the singing, I want you to lead in prayer, I want you to oversee all aspects of the services, and then I want you to bring a Bible study to the people. What am I doing? I am commissioning him, right? I am giving him the authority. I'm taking my authority, okay, and I am saying, okay, I am authorizing you with my authority to act in my stead. Basically to go and you're going to represent me because I can't be there and you're going to do the things that I would normally do next Wednesday night. I am commissioning him, see? I am giving him an authorization to perform a prescribed acts, and I'm giving him the authority to do that. Now, it's interesting that the word commission is only used one time in the Bible. It's in your handout. Acts 26:12. The Apostle Paul says, this is before he was saved. He says, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and what, church? Commission from the chief priest. Now, he's talking about before he got saved, and the chief priest, and by the way, this is a great verse to give you a definition that goes right along with Webster's. The Bible is the best place to define words, by the way. Okay, if you ever want to define a Bible word, just cross-reference enough verses with that word in it, and the Bible will define the word for you. Now, here the Bible defines commission. What is commission? Well, look at the verse again. Okay, Paul went where? To Damascus. What did he go with? Authority and what? Commission. So where'd the authority come from according to the verse? Chief priest. So the chief priest gave Paul some authority to go to Damascus to arrest Christians. All right? He was given the authority to go to Damascus and arrest believers in Christ. Now, we see here from this verse in your handout, I want you to get this statement, a commission has to do with the authority to act on behalf of another. We get that from the verse. A commission is the authority to act on behalf of another. Like I gave the illustration of Pastor Larry. Paul had the Apostle Paul, he said he had the authority, the commission, to go and arrest believers in Damascus, and he got that authority from the chief priest back at Jerusalem. So we know what that word means now, commission. It's one who grants the authority, okay? The one, by the way, let me ask you this. The person that grants the authority, okay, they have that power to authorize. Now, does the person with the authority, who grants the authority, do they have the power to detail what they want that other person to do and where they want them to do it? Well, yeah, it's their authority. So in the commission, they can tell them what they want them to do, give them the guidelines, tell them what they want them to do, and tell them where they want them to perform the acts. So we see that in the definition of the word. Now, in your Bible, or in your handout rather, it says nowhere in the Bible does God label a set of instructions as the Great Commission. Now, mankind has sought to label certain passages of Scripture that way, but I want you to understand tonight, the Bible never does that. So I just want you to understand, because you can hear that phrase so much that, you know, somebody challenges you on it. Well, where does the Bible say that that's the Great Commission? I don't know, but I know it's in here somewhere. I've heard it a lot. And then finally, what do? Well, I don't know, but I know it's in there somewhere. You know, well, is it in there? Does the Bible ever refer to a set of instructions as the Great Commission? No. No. You can search and search and search. It's not there. Now, in your handout, it says, as we study, we find that God's Word is a series of Great Commissions. You may want to jot down a couple notes there beside that, because I didn't want to take the space to do it, but you may want to jot this down in your handout. John the Baptist got a Great Commission. All right? He was the forerunner of Christ. He was the forerunner. He was the Elijah, if you will, that would go before Christ. You might want to jot this down, Luke 3, 2 through 4. John the Baptist had a great commission. I mean, it was an incredible commission from God. I mean, how can you not say that's great to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ? Go to Matthew chapter 10. This is the first place we'll start tonight. Matthew chapter 10. And I want to show you that you may want to jot this again down in your handout because it's not there. Matthew 10, 5 through 14, if you want to write that down. Matthew 10, 5 through 14, the 12. You can just jot down beside that, the 12. The 12 apostles had a great commission here in Matthew 10. Give me a little bit more in the A's, please. Mark chapter 10, verse 5. It says, it's kind of weird not having Ralph Jones to tease me about that anymore. About needing more A monitors, you know? Who's going to take up the torch and tease me about that, huh? Please, nobody raise your hand. Matthew 10:5. These 12, Jesus, what did he do? Come on, say it with me. I'm in Matthew 10:5. These 12, Jesus what, church? There you go. And what did he do? Does that sound like a commission to you? Does to me. Who has the authority? Yeah, is he sending them out with some instructions? Yeah, it sounds like a commission. Let's look at it. Go not into the way of the what? Don't even go there. And don't even go into the city of the Samaritans, he said. Verse 6, but rather go to the lost sheep in the house of Israel, and as you go, preach. He's going to tell them what he wants them to say. Say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. See, he's giving them the commission here. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. They weren't to take money with them. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, they were to go out in faith and just trust that people would meet their needs. Look at verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. And there abide ye, and abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your what? Words. When you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Now, you notice it goes on and on and on. This is a great commission. The whole rest of this chapter, he's given them a commission. All right? So here we have a great commission in Matthew 10. Now, you go over to Matthew 28, if you want to flip over there. This is after the resurrection. And now he's going to get the 11. Judas is gone. Of course, Judas Iscariot. So now he's got 11 here. And he's going to get them, verse 16, the 11 disciples. And he's going to give them another commission. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, this commonly is called the Great Commission. I don't know why Matthew 10 wouldn't be called a Great Commission. I don't know why John the Baptist wasn't a Great Commission. And I also don't understand why Mark 16, which was spoken after the resurrection, why people leave that out, or Luke 24, John 20, or Acts 1. All those were commissions that Christ gave to the 12, 11, if you will. Now, in your handout, it says, many Bible teachers assume that Christ's words to the 11 after His resurrection and before His ascension back into heaven were the final commissions that He gave until now. Now, a lot of Bible teachers are operating under this assumption. You've probably heard this before, and I've heard it, and this is what I was taught. So, you know, it's funny, the longer you're saved and the more you grow in God's Word, the more you don't just rely on what you heard, you got to go to the Word and study for yourself. Amen? And I was always given the idea, well, you know, these were Christ's final words. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20 and Acts 1. These were Christ's final words. So you got a lot of people out there in Christendom today that are operating on the idea that this was Christ's final words. These were His final commissions. Therefore, that's what we function under. Okay? Now listen, stay with me. They're operating on the idea that since this was Christ's final words, He spoke them to the 12. The 12 are no longer here. We're here. So we take up the torch. And so these were Christ's final words. And so these would constitute the final words of Christ. Therefore, our commission that we operate under. That is grossly incorrect. And it is grossly unscriptural. These were not Christ's last words. As we learned last week, Christ spoke yet again after Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1. He spoke again. This time He spoke from heaven. And He gave a great commission to a different person than the 12. Can anybody remember last week? Who did He give the commission to? He gave it to Paul. Christ spoke again, folks. These were not His final words. He spoke again. He spoke from heaven. Now, the question is this. Was Paul's commission simply a reiteration of the commission that Christ gave to the 12? Now, if so, then we would expect to go to Paul's commissions, which we're going to look at. We looked at it extensively last week. We'll probably look at it again. We would expect Paul's commissions, when Christ spoke from heaven, to be the same or at least real similar in wording to what Christ said back there in those other passages. Okay? So if Paul's commission was just a reiteration of the 12's, then we would expect to read it that way. So is Paul's commission identical to the 12's commission? That's an important question. I mean, I'm not trying to be difficult, all right? And I'm not trying to be argumentative, and I'm not trying to just be different. Folks, I got better things to do than to just be different, all right? What I'm trying to do is get some clarity to the issue. Because, I mean, after all, if somebody's going to go around touting that this is the great commission for us, then, man, would you agree with me? That's pretty important stuff. Amen? That's pretty important stuff. I mean, if somebody's going to tell me this is the commission from Jesus Christ that I'm supposed to be operating under, man, I want to make sure I got the right one. Amen? Amen. You know? I mean, I just want to make sure I got the right one. I mean, if that's the deal. So, you know, I'm not trying to be different, difficult. What I want to do is just take the Bible and I want to examine the words of these commissions. And I want us to examine the words. And I think that when we examine the words, we're going to find that they differ in many ways. And so we're going to explore this for this week and next week. This is just part one. And we're going to seek to rightly divide the differences. All right, let's begin by going to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Okay, so let's start there. Acts chapter 1. And these were the final words that Christ spoke on earth. On earth. Notice I said on earth. These were the final words He spoke on earth before He ascended into heaven. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, Jesus said, he's speaking here now to the 11, but ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in, what's the very first place? Jerusalem. And in all Judea and in Samaria, that's northern Israel. Judea would be the southern part of Israel. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. Flip back to Luke 24 real quick. Just go back a couple books. Luke 24. Keep your bookmarker in Acts if you didn't. I hope you did. Luke 24. We're going to be in Acts quite a bit tonight. So if you just keep a bookmarker in Acts, you'll be able to get there quickly. Luke 24. Verse 47. Luke 24, 47. Christ is risen. Okay. And verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. But then he specifies something. What's the last part of that verse say, church? Beginning at Jerusalem. In your handout, I want you to get this. The 12, their commission was this. They were to begin at Jerusalem. They were to begin at Jerusalem. Now, how does that compare with Paul? Well, we're going to see. I'm going to let you go ahead and write it in, and then we're going to study it out. Write this in your handout. Paul's was just the opposite. His commission was, anybody know? Leave. Yeah, good, Larry. Leave Jerusalem. So the 12 were commanded to begin at Jerusalem. When Paul went there, Jesus said immediately, I want you to get out quickly, leave. We'll look at that here in a moment. Now, have you ever wondered why Christ wanted him to begin at Jerusalem? You think there's a reason for that? You guys are tired tonight, aren't you?
I don't know. I think there's one, Pastor. There's got to be one in there somewhere. And I know you're going to show us what it is.
Take your Bible and slap yourself in the face and go to Zechariah. I'm just kidding. Zechariah, okay, right? The end of your Old Testament. Right before Malachi. Zechariah 14. Let's go over there. Right before the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, go to Zechariah 14. And I want you to notice why Christ would tell him to begin at Jerusalem. There's a reason for that, okay? Zechariah 14, verse 1, says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against what? Jerusalem to battle. So when the day of the Lord comes, he's going to gather the nations. They're going to come against Jerusalem. Verse 4, Christ's feet is going to stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Now, go down to verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters, after Christ returns to Jerusalem at his second coming to earth, it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from where, church? Jerusalem. Half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. It says, in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. You look down at verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that's left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts. Verse 21, yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. Go over to Isaiah. Go back to the prophet Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. I love Wednesday night Bible study. And you guys are with me. You're turning. You're excited. You're awake. I love it. Isaiah 2. Look at Isaiah 2:1. Isaiah 2, verse 1. Why would he tell them to begin at Jerusalem? Well, it's part of the prophetic program. Look at Isaiah 2:1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning, notice, Judah and Jerusalem. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. That's where he told them to start. That's important. He told them to start their witnessing and evangelization in Jerusalem and Judah. I'm going to find out something about Jerusalem and Judah right here. Look at it. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion, Jerusalem, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And it goes on, He shall judge among the nations. Verse 5, O house of Jacob, that's Israel, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So now why in the world would He tell them to begin at Jerusalem and Judah? Well, here's why. Because they knew the prophetic program. Christ was to return to Jerusalem, and the kingdom would be established with its capital being in Jerusalem. And the blessing to the nations, we just read it, the blessing to the nations were going to flow forth from Jerusalem. Folks, this was not a suggestion to start at Jerusalem and to begin there. This was a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find out that when persecution came on the church in Acts chapter 7, and all the disciples were scattered, what did the apostles do? They stayed at Jerusalem, Acts 8:1. Why? Because they knew the prophetic program. They knew that Jerusalem must be turned and evangelized to Christ first, because that's where the kingdom, that's where the king was going to come, and that's where the kingdom was going to be established on the earth. Now, preachers like to allegorize Acts 1:8. They like to allegorize that clear command by saying, well, those passages really are just teaching us that we need to evangelize our hometown and our area first. And that's not the teaching or the intended purpose of Acts 1:8 or Luke 24:47. That's not the purpose, okay? And you've heard me say this over and over again, and I'm going to say it again. Jerusalem was not their hometown. They were men of Galilee, Acts 1:11 says. They were from northern Israel. Jerusalem wasn't their hometown. There is a logical reason, folks, why He told them to begin at Jerusalem in their commission, okay? And if we just think a little bit and cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, okay, then we see why they were told to evangelize Jerusalem, gather a remnant of believing Israel there, then go out to Judah, preach the truth of the kingdom at hand, preach the truth of Christ's resurrection, the Messiah is risen, the kingdom's coming. Tell Jerusalem first, go out to Judea, go out to Samaria. And then, we're going to see this later on, Christ said, before you even finish getting through all the cities of Israel, I will return to the earth. And then there'll be a teaching ministry. Matthew 28 will be fulfilled, literally. And there will be a teaching ministry that will go forth out of Jerusalem to all nations. And those Gentile nations in the kingdom are going to be taught and instructed of all things concerning the law, which is what Christ told them to do. He said, you go out and you teach the nations what I've told you, what I've commanded you. And so there will be a teaching ministry that will go on, that and a witnessing ministry that will go literally to all nations once that kingdom arrives. Now, how does that compare with Paul's commission? Go to Acts 22, if you would, please. Acts 22. I told you to keep a bookmarker in Acts because we're going to be kind of going there back and forth. Acts 22. See, you gotta understand what's going on here. You know, you can't just devotionalize a verse because everybody's always done it. And you can't just say, well, you know, okay, we don't really need, you know, that's our commission, but we don't really start at Jerusalem. We don't take that literally. You know, no, he didn't mean to take it literally. Oh, okay. Well, why not? I mean, they took it literally. The 12 did. So you got to think. Look at Acts 22, verse 18. Okay, here's Paul now. And Paul's gotten saved. And Paul now has gone to Jerusalem in verse 17. Acts 22 says, he's recount. By the way, in Acts 22, he's telling you about something that happened in the past. And he's in verse 18. and saw him saying unto me. What did Christ tell Paul when Paul finally got to Jerusalem after he was saved? Make haste and get thee quickly what? Out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And Paul kind of argues with the Lord a little bit there and says, but this will be a great ministry. You know, they know all my past. They know all I've done. I'll be able to do a great work here. And look at verse 21. After he argues with the Lord a little bit about it, verse 21, he said unto me, depart. So what was he supposed to do with Jerusalem? Depart. For I will send thee far hence unto who? The Gentiles. So in your handout, I want you to get that statement. When Paul went to Jerusalem, Christ told him to get out quickly. To get out quickly. Now, all of you are bright and intelligent people. Amen. You can say amen right there. It's all right. Is there a difference in the commission Christ gave on earth to the 12 right before he left and what he told Paul? Yes or no?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. That's pretty simple. You know, if you can read, you can easily see that those are not the same. There were geographical differences in the commissions. Now, why would there be geographical differences in the commissions? Well, the reason why there'd be differences in that, it was revealing that a change in God's program is taking place in the book of Acts. And if you don't understand that, you'll never get Acts. You'll be twisted and confused. There is a change of program taking place in the book of Acts. There is a rejection by Israel of their offered kingdom. There is a rejection of their king, their Messiah. And now God saves Paul. Paul tries to go to Jerusalem and follow the prophetic program. Get out, depart. This isn't it. There's a change going on here. There's something going on here that we need to understand and realize. Now, let's go to the next thing in your handout. And let's talk about this for a moment tonight. And this may be all we have time to get through. The 12 received their commission on earth. Paul received his commission from heaven. So get that for me there, and if you could, write that in. If we could bring that up, Glenda. The 12 received their commission from Christ, where? On earth. Where did Paul get his commission from Christ? From heaven. There's a difference there. Now, it's only logical, if you could just stay with me here a couple minutes, it's only logical that the 12 would receive their commission on earth. Why? Well, because Christ taught them during his earthly ministry for 3 years. His parting words to the 12, I understand there's 11, I'm just using 12 as a generic term. His parting words to the 12, he gave them those departing words right before he ascended from the earth to heaven. And in your handout it says, they were given the promise that as Christ left the earth and went to heaven, he would one day return from the heavens to the earth. Go to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 1. All right? Let's look at this. Acts chapter 1. And here we are again. Acts 1:8. Here's the plan, guys. You're going to be witnesses, but it's going to start in Jerusalem. Then you're going to go off into all Judea, then Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken, what? Up. Okay? And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two angels. Verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. Where was he taken up from? The earth. Okay. Shall so come. Come where? To earth. In like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What was the manner he went to heaven? He went up in a cloud from earth to heaven. They get a promise. Hey guys, the same way you saw him leave earth and go to heaven, he's going to leave heaven and come back to earth. Now, is that clear, church?
Yeah.
All right. So does this have anything to do with the rapture? No, because in the rapture, does he come down to the earth? No, he meets us where? See how you got to figure things out when you read? You know, you got to look at the words. So why in the world did the, in your handout, I'll go ahead and give you this statement. It says, the 12 were given the promise. Did I give you that yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So why would the angel say that to them? Well, this was a confirmation to them that Christ would in fact return and set up an earthly kingdom for Israel like he promised them he was going to do. How did he teach them to pray? Thy kingdom what? Come, thy will be done where?
On earth.
Yeah, on earth as it is in heaven. They had earthly promises. Earthly promises of a kingdom. Go to Matthew. Keep your bookmarker in Acts. Go to Matthew 18. They had earthly prompt that Israel's hope was always an earthly hope. No Jew was looking to spend eternity in heaven. No Jew like we are. What's our hope? Our hope is we're going to go to heaven. I'm not a Jew. A Jew had an earthly hope. A Jew had a hope that God had promised him that he was going to give that Jew a physical land area in Palestine and that he'd have a king, a Messiah reigning on that throne. And the Jews had a promise of blessing in that earthly kingdom. They had a promise that the days of heaven would be on earth. That was their promise. That's why it was called the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom that was going to come from heaven to earth. That was their hope. That's what they were looking for. Look at Matthew 18. And let's see. Matthew chapter 18. And actually that is the, that's wrong. Can you change that please in your, it's not even in your handout, is it? Okay, you can write this in then. I'm glad it's not there because it's wrong in my notes. Matthew 19, if you can turn over there. Notice the earthly hope that they had of an earthly kingdom. Matthew 19, 27. Now look at the words. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, okay, now here's their hope. Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, okay, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, in the regeneration spoke of when Christ would return, regenerate the earth. There would be a regeneration, there would be an earthly kingdom. He says, notice, you're going to sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 what? And he says, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, what's going to happen for that Jew that does that? He says, they're going to receive what? A hundredfold. And they're going to inherit everlasting life in that kingdom. So go back to Acts now, chapter 1. So the 12 see Christ go up from earth to heaven. And the angel says, hey, don't worry. Same way you saw him go up from earth to heaven, he's going to come back down to the earth. Well, this was a confirmation of what they've been wondering all along. Because look at Acts 1:3. During the 40 days after Christ's resurrection, it says here, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And what was he talking about during those 40 days? What was he talking about this special dispensation of grace that's going to come? And how that there's going to be a heavenly kingdom with saints that are going to be seated with Christ in heavenly place. Is that what he was talking about? No. It says he was speaking of the things pertaining to what? Kingdom of God. Look down at verse 6. They knew what he was talking about. After 40 days of tutoring, they ask a logical question. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? How did he answer them? Verse 7. And he said unto them, haven't you ignoramuses figured out yet that we're not We're not going to do that. We're going to have a time of grace. Is that what he said? No. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And then, a few minutes later, Christ leaves earth to heaven. The angels say, don't worry. He hadn't forgotten his promise. He's going to come back down from heaven to earth. That kingdom program is still there. Just can't tell you when it's going to happen. How about Paul? In your handout, it says Paul received his commission from Christ in the heavens. Paul called his commission the heavenly vision. So here they got an earthly commission. Paul says his commission was a heavenly vision. Why? You ever think about that? Why did Paul get his commission from the heavens? It's because to Paul would be revealed a mystery that was unrevealed until Paul, of God's purpose that God was going to accomplish, called the dispensation of grace. And in your handout it says Paul's commission involved making known a new heavenly organism called the body of Christ. God was going to do something completely new. God was going to make a new man, the body of Christ. And it says in your handout, whose blessings are not, does anybody want to take a guess on that blank? Earthly, but heavenly. Ephesians 1:3, where are my blessings located? Ephesians 1:3, can somebody tell me just off the top of your head, where are my blessings located? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can anybody tell me in Ephesians 2:6 where the Bible says I'm already seated? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come. That's where I'm going to be in the ages to come, in the heavenly places. That in the ages to come He might show what is the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, you know, what I want to do is I just want you to think a little bit. And the next few Wednesday nights really is going to require we do a lot of thinking. Because, you know, sometimes trying to reprogram these minds of ours is tough. But, you know, I've been told over and over and over again, you know, this is the Great Commission. Now, the Bible never says it, but I've been told that. And I'm sure many of you have been told the same thing. These were Christ's final words. No, they weren't. That's a lie. Those are not Christ's final words. They were His final words on earth, but did Christ speak again? Yes or no? Yeah. Where did He speak from? Who did He speak to? Paul. And Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. Just by the first two points, okay, were the commissions for Paul and the 12 identical? Obviously, no. So, you know, we've got to rightly divide this thing. Now, next week, I'll go ahead and give you point number three, and then you can kind of think on it this week, okay? Point number three there. The 12 were to go to Gentiles only after witnessing throughout the land of Israel. They could not go to the Gentiles until they first covered the land mass of Israel. Paul, on the other hand, in your handout, he was to go directly to the Gentiles. Directly. So, again, differences. It's not the same. The 12 were not to go to Gentiles until they first covered the land area of Israel. Paul, his commission was, get out of Jerusalem. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. And we'll study that next week. We'll look at that. All right, let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word tonight. Help us, Father, to understand these things. And Lord, to let Scripture be our final authority.